in a world that has more than enough information and noise? Is it even possible to truly anchor ourselves and have peace in a scattered world? Hi, this is Pamela and Mary, and we are a mother-daughter team who span two generations but share one message. We will delve into what it looks like to be fully integrated, body, soul, and spirit, and will bring encouragement and hope all along the way. We get it. Life is hard, and let's be real. Hard doesn't even begin to describe it on some days. But we want you to know that you're not alone. And not only that, we are here to come alongside you and cheer you on as you walk out your individual storyline. So join us as we journey together and laugh, cry, and everything in between. Welcome to the More Than Enough Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the More Than Enough Podcast. Hey Ma.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
I'm seeing the sunlight on your face. Yes. As I do sometimes when we record, and it's just the funniest thing in the world. All I can think of is like Jesus returning on the mountain. It's just going right down the center of your face.
Yes, it's beautiful. We just want to also jump in by saying thank you so much for some of you who have reached out to us via email. If you would like to be a part of our email list, we would love for you to jump on and join that. You can go to our website, which is AmesGirls, AmesGirls.com, where you can join our email list or follow us on Instagram at AmesGirls. We've just really enjoyed hearing the feedback that we have. So look forward to hearing from you guys, whether it be what we're talking about that week or just anything at all. It's so great to hear y'all's feedback and what you're going through.
We do appreciate that. Thank you so much.
So today we are going to be discussing the fear of the Lord. It feels heavy as I was praying about it, but I'm like, okay, Lord, you don't want this to be some huge, weird topic that we can't just dive into and talk about. And I just am reminded that the Lord just makes things simple, and it doesn't have to be super complicated. So as I was looking into it, I noticed there was two different words even about fear in the Hebrew, which was interesting because like what my mom and I have been talking about, even not on this podcast, is how there's a similar word, but they can be the opposite things. I think about the word bound when I was looking it up. It can mean you're going to a destination, but it can also mean you're being restrained from movement. So literally one word can mean two different things. So that's what we're saying with the fear of the Lord. We see all these different fear words in the Bible, and we just correlate them all as the same. But in context, the Lord is saying very different things when he's talking about that. So we want to really clarify what we mean by that. There's two very clear Hebrew words when fear is being translated. And I was trying to look so I don't completely butcher the pronunciation. Is that how I say that?
Pronunciation.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
Pronunciation. Yes. Can't even pronounce. Okay. So the first one is pachad. And that's the fear that I think we all know and can experience. And it means a sense of threat and panic, like terror, right? Mm. That's that kind of fear. But this other fear that's translated in Hebrew is yavah. It means a twinge of exhilaration and awe, usually in context with reverence.
Mm.
That's very different.
Yes.
Than threat and panic and terror.
It's so beautiful. I don't know Hebrew at all. When I look up any words at any time, they're so inspiring because the language is so beautiful in being very explicit about what it's saying, and it adds beauty often to its language. But yeah, those are basically definitely seemingly opposite for sure. I don't think we have to help our audience understand. You are very acquainted with fear in all of its dark ways that are meant to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. There is this other kind of fear that is really connected to the glory of God. And glory is a very hard thing to describe, let alone define. But what you were saying, Mary, in this way that we're so awakened, we're so able to see this glory that is so beyond us, so beautiful, so inspiring. But we're talking about absolutely this kind of fear of the Lord. I would just add to these defining parts is that we do see people who just encounter even an angel in the word, and they feel terror and they fall to the ground.
That's a good point.
So the truth is, if you were to see something that's altogether different than you, that you somehow can have an understanding that this alien in front of you, we'll call it an alien because that is probably the closest thing that we could even understand. If another creature that looked wildly different than you, that somehow you knew they had the power to let you know by their very being that they could crush you and your entire town or your earth that you live on in a split second. Somehow you have this understanding by their might and their power that they are so much bigger and beyond you. Your body might not be able to contain that, and you could very easily fall down and faint.
Right.
This is true of just things that happen to us all the time in our life. People do faint over times because their body is on overload and they can't take in what's happening to them. We want to say that gets it a little more muddy here, but we want to say that there are many references in the word, including all the way to Revelation, that John fell down like a dead man. We're not talking about a bodily reaction to something that's so powerful that your brain and your mind have no way to understand. It just feels like it's too much for you to take. We're simply talking about these kind of two fears today. And so the fear of the Lord, let's continue with that because I think we understand this idea of terror and fear. I would say fears too also get into irrational things, but there's very many rational fears. We're built to be afraid of danger. Our body keeps score of those dangers that we've experienced. They're uploaded into our whole central nervous system. So we are going to respond with fear. Now let's just talk about one more part of fear, is that what if you've been raised and your whole indoctrination, let's say, in who God is, that you are taught to be afraid of God. Many groups and churches, this is how they represent God, that if you do this or don't do that, God will smite you in one way or the other. Yeah. So let's say you've grown up with that. This isn't what scripture teaches, but we want to acknowledge that some of you actually may be afraid of the living God in a way that is not life-giving, is not the kind of fear that he ever supports in any way. That's why we have this other side of the coin when God is saying, fear not. And this is what we're talking about, that kind of antinomy, two sides of the same coin. But with that said, we recognize that some of you have a fear of God in an unhealthy way. And we also recognize that because of that, you may misunderstand who God is. Thirdly, we would say that if you have a physical father or a father who was a male in your household and he demonstrated and did things and said things that made you afraid and you know it's your father, it seems strange, but it's a reality that you can connect that male figure to God. There's all these nuances that go on when we talk about who God is and we talk about the subject of fear, let alone when we are coming today and introducing the idea of something we're saying is quite beautiful and lovely, and that's the fear of the Lord. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to put in the same conversation. Without further ado, I guess we should talk a little bit about what the fear of the Lord is.
I love how you brought up the point that it can also be terror, but in this holy terror, because I still think that there's still a difference. There's still a difference between that holy awe of terror, like standing on holy ground, that reverence of, oh my goodness, I'm just going to fall over dead. But it's still not out of that other kind of terror. And I only have one word for it. So it's like, I wish we had two different words for that terror in the English language, or maybe there is, and I'm not thinking of them. Email us and tell us, maybe you know more. But that kind of terror that is just panic and fear and anxiety rather than that reverence and that awe that we've talked about. I know that as I have been thinking about what is the fear of the Lord, what does that look like? I've been challenged in my own heart, just my time with the Lord of the Lord. I want the fear of the Lord in my heart and in my house. But even as I say it, I'm like, but what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses. It's in Psalm 33. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all of its great strength. it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. I love that verse for so many different reasons, but I think the Lord just so spoke to my heart when I was asking him, what is the fear of the Lord? And I read that the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. And then right after that, it almost is, and this is what that looks like, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Okay, what does it look like to fear the Lord? It looks like to hope in his unfailing love, to trust in his altogether other than-ness, to stand in that place, to give him the acknowledgement he deserves and to trust him fully.
I think the response to the otherness of God in every form that we understand, power, knowledge of all things, being over all things, when we're talking about a creator and designer that is over and above everything else, if we contemplate that in any way, what is going to well up in us is that no matter what, we, in comparison to this God that we can't even understand, we really don't have a grid for being the creature to the creator. But in that, at the very least, we're going to think and feel he can do anything he wants.
Right.
There's nothing that can stay his hand. There's nothing that I can do in any way that is significant in terms of saving my own life, in terms of protecting myself, in terms of healing myself. This has to be that person. We will have some level of awe or reverence or worship for that creature or that creator, or we're going to have fear of him, because if he's not good, we live in terror of what he will do next. It's possible to have that kind of fear without this reverence, and we see it all times today. People are angry with God. They are mocking God. But they're more offended with God because of who he is and the power he has, and that he's not intervening in the ways that they would believe that he should be intervening. When we're faced with who God is, his greatness and his other than-ness, unless the Spirit of God is moving on us and wooing us, and we're responding to those encounters, we can walk away with a different vision than the person standing next to us, who can fall on their face and on their knees because of this awe and wonder and worship and reverence, while the person standing right next to them is filled with bitterness and rage against this same thing, but through their lens, they're seeing God as suspect or they're offended. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It actually reminds me of something I used to tell my kids when they were younger. And I remember this specific conversation. They were just all running amok and not listening to me. And I was telling them to do certain things and they were not listening. And I think we were by a road or something, and they were just being careless and not caring, obviously, and not noticing that they are about to be hit by a truck or something.
Right.
I'm trying to get them to understand. And finally, I was like, I need you guys to have a healthy fear of what I say. And they're like, what? You want me to be afraid of you? And I'm like, no, not in that kind of way. See, I didn't know the Hebrew words. I should have said, no, I do not want you to be pachad. Like you to be yavia or whatever. What? Anyways, but I was like, no, it's not exactly like that. And then I sat them down and I was like, okay, do you know that I love you? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, no, do you really know that? Do you trust me? Do you trust that I want what's best for you? Do you think I would do something just to harm you? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, so we have that as a baseline. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're talking about as far as that baseline. If that's not our lens, and we talk about that all the time on this podcast, there's really nowhere else to go from there. That has to be the foundation. We have to bridge those gaps and ask the Lord to fill that foundation, because that has to be the first place to start. So that's where I started with them. And I said, okay, so you know that this is coming out of a place of love. And then I said, but I want you to know that I am in charge of you. And the decisions that I make and the things that I say, they hold power and they hold weight. And you need to understand that. You need to know that whatever decisions I make for you in the storyline of this day and this afternoon are for your best. Mm. I didn't want to be like, you are lesser than, you are nothing. But I'm like, I am the authority here and you yes. trust me and I love you and I'm for you. But you need to understand that the things that I say, there are reasons that I say them. And there needs to be this healthy fear of, oh, if mom said it, if mom walks into a room, there's an authority there. And I need to respect that and honor that. I would do well to listen
yes.
and follow the things that she says. I'm not sure if they really heard a word of that, but it was a good story in the moment.
I love that you brought up a word we don't use much anymore, and that's authority. And I think that at the end of the day, it really is, as God is the creator, at the end of it, he's just saying, you may not understand, it may be confusing to you, but surely you can accept that everything that you see around you, I have made and created and designed. And I hold all of the galaxies in the palm of my hand, and I know how many waves come upon the earth. And on it goes, so many places you can read where your heart will be quickened. But he's basically saying, you are a creature, and I am the creator. Therefore, I have all knowledge and all ability and all resource at my disposal to make every right decision for the micro parts even of your life. Will you trust me, or will you see me as this supreme being and that you'll accept gladly because I am the only one who has the power and the authority to do that? Or will you reject my authority and rebel against me? Now, again, those words we don't use very often, but there's many of us who've grown up without any kind of definition of boundaries and rules that will even keep us safe. And to respect and honor that as something that's for our good. Even parents, our families, they're all part of those gifts God has given us. You say, I didn't have that kind of a good family. We completely understand that. And we know that this is going to smack into your view of God. We're basically saying today that the fear of the Lord has a multitude of promises and fruit connected to it. I did a fear of the Lord whole 2.5-day retreat with women. It was one of the most powerful ones we've ever had. I put them in groups. We had multiple verses that each group was going to look up. It was a litany of promises and fruit that come from the result of any given person who has this understanding and paradigm and lens of what we're talking about today. By walking in this thing called the fear of the Lord means that you are walking in a place as Jesus did on the earth with full submission, with full humility that the Father is to be acknowledged and he rightfully sits on a throne. And as Mary said, it would go well with us if we actually accepted that and not just accepted it, but revered and worshiped and had awe and wonder leading to our absolute trust of him. This is what this whole story from Genesis to Revelation is about. God saying, this is who I am. This is who you are. I've done it all for you so I can help you in all of your weaknesses. The more you trust in me, the more we will get to the place of why I created you, which was for relationship and all for the sake of love. There's so much love that he has that he's shared it with us. He's so generous, he doesn't just keep it for himself and the Trinity. He shares it with all of his creation. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about the fear of the Lord. A trust, a confidence that God is good and that he is with you. We just want to rewrite whatever understanding or misunderstanding that you have of what that word means. It's unto life, it's unto goodness.
Yeah. And so this week, as you're just having your quiet time with the Lord, just ask him, what ways are you living in fear of God rather than having the fear of the Lord? And ask him personally, what does that look like, Lord? Bring me to some of these verses, make them come alive to me. And he will. We talked about journaling last week. This is a perfect time to implement that of just journaling yes. with the Lord. When I say and hear fear of the Lord, what emotions immediately come up? journal that this week. I think that's powerful. Ask the Lord to lead that. And there's so much power in that when we partner with the Lord in that.
I just want to make a connection that we can take with us. It's very life-giving when we're talking about these broad strokes of who God is. And that is this. These are really two sides of the same coin in terms of we didn't really touch fully. And I want to close with this idea of fear not. So we talked about fear. We talked about fear of the Lord. But then what we also wanted to point out is that God is constantly saying in the word to fear not. The angels are saying this. God is saying that. Different prophets are saying that. I just want to end with this. When we think about the fear of the Lord, we think about God's holiness and perfection. But he says that perfect love is the reason why you don't have to fear. So he says, fear not, because you have also been made righteous. He's holy and perfect. He is making you and will make you completely righteous. He's going to give that to you. Something that feels overwhelming to you. His supreme power, he says he has made you an heir. You will be a part of even judging angels one day. He's giving you out of his generosity, out of his love, that you've been made an heir of his. You are his child forevermore. And his authority, it says that you're going to be seated with Christ. These things of that are unbelievable about who God is, even his judgments, you do not have to fear God, because by his love, he says that you're perfectly forgiven forever. This is the fear not side. You don't have to fear because he has made a way to invite you in and partake of every beautiful thing he has. You will have access to this. And this, in generally speaking, is why you have nothing to fear in God, but everything to gain. I join with Mary saying a great thing to journal this week. Sit on and spend some time, and I'm confident that the Lord will lead you in this. We're so thankful for you being here. We care about you very much, and we're so glad you joined us today. Have a great week.